You've made it to M Cubed,
the Murder, Mystery, and Mayhem podcast. Oh, I'm Paige.
I'm Sam.
If you just found us, welcome to the squirreliest true crime podcast. If you stuck around from the beginning, welcome back, you lovely bitches.
Welcome back.
I have a story to tell you about Madison and her ridiculous thing where she wants to argue with me constantly. She's 11 now. Weird. Anyway, she has decided that she wants to argue with me about the most ridiculous things. Like, always. Just fucking always. Anyway, so like last Friday we had the big storm thing coming in, and the temperature dropped super fast, and I just made a comment about how when I picked them up at 3:15 or 3:30 or whatever.
It was 66 degrees.
Yeah, it was 66 degrees. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, look, it's dropped 10 degrees. It's now 55. And she goes, that's 1, 5, 6. Count by your tens. She goes, 10, 20, 25, 30. I was like, oh, you are 11. And then Zane in the back going, who's 5, going, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60. I was like, the kindergartner's got it before you do. This is a problem, Madison. We need to work on this.
That was funny. Poor Madison.
I am working on getting the first 2 or 3 episodes edited again, since I sort of know what I'm doing. I say sort of because I'm sure there's way better ways to do things, but yeah. I'm doing things the hard way. So, eventually those will go back up and we'll post on the socials for that. Alright, so on a scale of 1 to full T-Rex on this one, it's probably closer to, like, 2 or 3. So, like, a little bit of, not a whole lot of full retraction of your arms.
Okay.
This episode is about Joanna Dennehy.
Okay.
She is from England, and she is only the 3rd woman in English criminal history to be assessed to be so dangerous she can never be released.
Really?
Yeah. The other two are Myra Henley and Rosemary West. Do you know either of those names?
No.
If you do not, that's sad. Also, probably good on your mental health. Myra Henley was, actually both of them were part of a couple's killing spree. They're fucking terrible. They're 10 times worse than this. Especially Myra Henley. That one's fucking terrible. One day, maybe, I'll go through that one, but it's probably gonna be fucking long. Yeah. Anyway, so, a little bit about Joanna Dennehy. She was born in St. Albans in 1982. And by all accounts, she had a fairly uneventful childhood. There was no major abuse that was reported. She did pretty good at school. There was really nothing. Her dad was a security guard, and her mother worked at a grocery store. Pretty much it. She went to school, she came home, all was well. She had 2 other siblings, and when I say she was legitimately the cutest kid, I need to find a picture of her when she was a kid, because she was adorable.
Mm-hmm.
But you saw the picture of her. Not so much now. Anyway, she had such a good relationship with one of her sisters that they had their own little language. So, like, they would communicate with each other that way, and nobody else would really know what they were talking about. She did really well in school, and her goal in life was to become an attorney. Her sister says, one day, it's like she woke up and said no to her future. When she was 15, she began running away and did at least 8 times before she turned 16.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm not sure what led to that point. Well, I do. There was a boy.
I was about to say, was there a boy?
There was. Her mother said there was cannabis and drugs involved, and she became a bit of a rebel. I mean,
were her parents strict?
I didn't know. I don't think they were any more strict than, like, a typical family, to be honest. Though I don't know what typical is. So maybe. I think they were more along the lines of, they worked really hard and they expected more out of their kids. and they wanted a future for them. So I think that's where they came from. But then when she started running away, nothing really, there were no real consequences.
Okay.
So it's like, eh. And then at age 16, she was allowed to choose where she lived. Her parents were together. They weren't split.
So where'd she choose to live?
With her boyfriend.
How old was her boyfriend?
He was 5 years older than her.
Oh, shit. And she was 16?
She was 16.
Sounds about right.
So the boyfriend she was seeing, his name was John Treanor. So she was allowed to choose where she was going to live at age 16.
Mm-hmm.
And she and John kind of ran off with each other. It was a very tumultuous relationship. They ended up having 2 kids together. And they were together for a while, but she had a habit of leaving John and the children for long periods of time.
Well, yeah, she was a child.
Yeah. In 2009, she was 27.
So they were together for 9 years.
Yeah. John took the children and left her because she did all sorts of crazy shit. So she would bring men home to try to fight John.
What?
Yeah. It was really fucking stupid. So, like, she would leave for days at a time or whatever, and she would come back. And when she did, she'd have these men. She would tell the men stories about what John had done to her.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's any truth to it.
Mm-hmm. He was 20 and went after a child.
Yeah. But in, like, the state of Tennessee, there's a 4-year rule. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah. I dated a lot of 20-year-olds when I was only a wee little gal that I shouldn't have, for sure, 100%.
Well, I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying, like,
isn't it just kind of creepy that absolutely
pedophilia.
An adult is creeping on a high school girl. Is that not?
Absolutely.
Like, I mean, if he was a senior and she was a freshman and they dated and then, you know, he went to college and they still dated, whatever. But I think it's weird.
I agree. Wholeheartedly. the four-year rule in Tennessee, I think, is fucking stupid. Because you don't understand life when you are a child. When you are not out of high school yet, you do not understand.
Mm-mm.
Even after you get out of high school for several years, you still don't understand.
I'm 30 and I don't fucking understand.
Same. I'm just fucking winging it right now. One day, maybe in the future, I'll have my shit together. But at this point, like, we got our bills paid. We got the kids fed. They're healthy. Everybody's good. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So, like, yes, they were very young. Or she was very young. Yes, they shouldn't have been together. But there was nothing that stopped them. Like, the court was involved in some of her runaways. And after a while, they stopped reporting them. Because nothing was done, essentially.
She starts doing bad things, no consequences.
Mm-hmm.
She keeps doing bad things, still no consequences.
Then she gets to go live with her boyfriend that is 5 years older than her. And then they have children.
And she does whatever she wants. John,
whatever the fuck she wants.
John still, you know, there's no consequences for her. So she's just going to keep doing whatever the hell she wants. Because literally, she can do whatever she wants. And get away with it.
Yep. So like I said, when she was 27 in 2009, he left because he got tired of the crazy behavior. Like the other men coming to want to fight him because of whatever the fuck she told them.
I'd be damned.
Pulling a knife. Like,
I'd be damned if somebody came up into my house trying to fight me. I'd be damned.
Well, it's pretty much, that was the breaking point. She pulled the knife. There was all of that shit. He's like, I'm fucking done. Because she had also, like, cheated on him and stuff like that.
Yeah, no shit.
Obviously, right? So, between 2009 and 2013, it doesn't look like she had a whole lot of contact with her children.
Mm.
Which is probably for the best, to be honest. Because her daughter, one of her daughters, has gone on to, like, talk shows and interviewed with media and stuff like that, talking about how she remembers people coming to their home and wanting to fight her father.
That's crazy.
And she recalls how terrifying it was. It's fucking intense. So that's in 2009, so she is separated from her children. So at this point, she is by herself, doing her own damn thing. Without
responsibilities.
Without responsibilities.
Or consequences.
Exactly. So, in 2012, She spent 3 days in a psychiatric hospital. She was diagnosed with psychopathic, antisocial, and emotional instability disorders. Coming from a psychology background over here, I feel like she probably should have been diagnosed with, like, something more specific. This is just a very generic, she's a bit fucked up, but we didn't put any more effort into it.
Yeah, so are there treatments for any of that? Do you have to pinpoint before you can treat it?
If she, that it's a good idea to pinpoint before you treat, but she was not consistent in any treatments they were trying for her.
Okay.
So.
Why did she get put in the psych ward?
I don't remember. But there is a documentary type film that I watched, and the criminologist explained that these disorders are conditions, not mental illnesses. Someone with a mental illness can still tell right from wrong. Joanna is not one to feel bad about the choices she made or what she has done.
So I'm confused.
If it was a mental illness, mm-hmm. it would be, hey, I did this and it was terrible and I should feel remorse. Mm-hmm. Whereas when she did something, she was like, damn it, I wish I could have gotten more. She had the ability to put masks on and fucking get through life. She was very manipulative, and she was able to suck in, like, all these men.
Well, yeah.
And
she was getting men to go to her house to fight somebody.
Yeah. So, she just didn't feel bad about her choice. She didn't have any remorse. Like, she knew what she did was wrong, but she didn't feel anything about it. She does what she wants, when she wants, and how she wants. Mm-hmm. Consequences be damned.
Right.
So, when I say she had a bunch of masks, in the film that they had about her, there was a neighbor that spoke about her that said she was quite pleasant. She loved babies and was excellent with children. There seems to be a theme going.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this woman, who was her neighbor, said she never had a problem with her. Mm-hmm. Like, she was a friendly person. She treated other people's children with care, I guess. And everything was fine. Mm-hmm. So, I'm going to switch gears a little bit. Because, you know, I like to do that. Squirrel. So the victims in this case, I want to highlight that they were more than how they died and how at least one of them was found. I'll go into detail about their deaths and what led to them in a minute. But the first three men that were murdered, and there were two others that she had attacked that survived. I don't know anything about those two that survived other than that they had some PTSD.
Right.
Like, they weren't, I think I have their names, but I don't have, like, who they were as a person.
Yeah, that'd be traumatizing.
Yeah. And actually, the last two people she had no connection to. The first three people she did.
So then she just started randomly attacking people.
Yeah. I'll get to that in a minute. So the first one was a 56-year-old man named John Chapman. He lived in the same building as Joanna. And I explained this before we started recording. They had, like, a boarding house kind of thing that kind of makes me think of Hey Arnold.
Stoop kid.
So they had their own rooms, but they shared a bathroom. And the reason I'm saying that is because Joanna had told her neighbor something along the lines of Mr. Chapman had walked in on her while she was dressing in the bathroom.
Right.
So I was like, I can't think of any other way for that to happen unless they shared a bathroom.
Yeah.
Because if they were in separate apartments, that wouldn't happen. Anyway, so he had made comments to the neighbor that Joanna was a mad woman. Apparently, she was making multiple threats to him, saying things like she was going to get rid of him any way that she could. The neighbor had told him that if he felt uncomfortable to call us, you know, the neighbors, and we'll come over. The neighbor described him as someone who would do anything for anyone and was described as a poor, defenseless man. Kevin Lee was the second victim. And he was 48 years old, and he was her landlord. He was apparently a pretty decent guy that housed people that were less fortunate, so the rent was much lower and things like that. And he had some major trouble evicting people. He didn't like that confrontation that he had to go through. Mm-hmm. So apparently, he had used Joanna to help with evictions.
Oh,
because she was
aggressive.
Aggressive. That's a good word. She was aggressive. all she really had to do was use her words to get enough of a response for people to actually leave if they were not paying or to pay their bill.
Okay.
Yeah. I say words because, I mean, one of the last episodes is like, word fight. but no, she didn't have to get physically violent with anybody to make them leave or to pay the late rent. Anyway, so, after a time working together that way, they began a sexual relationship. And she was essentially living rent-free.
I was about to say, nah. She ain't rent free. That shit ain't free.
I'm gonna fuck up this guy's name. His name was Lucas Slabowski, and he was 38 years old, and he was a Polish man. He thought they were in a fucking relationship. He even sent a text about the relationship to his friends, talking about how good life was.
Poor guy.
So, like I said, I couldn't find much on the other two victims, Mr. Bariza and John Rogers. Oh, I wrote in here that Mr. Bariza and John Rogers are badasses who have not given up, even though at this random ass brutal attack could have destroyed them. Mm-hmm. Like, they could have just said, fuck it, I'm done with life now. Yeah. And just been miserable. Mm-hmm. But instead, I do know that they have worked through some of the issues that has caused, though they're not the same. So, on March 19th, 2013, her first victim was Lucas, which was the Polish man who thought that they were in a relationship. So, every source that I came across made her sound like a succubus. Like, she could just lure these fucking people in and just be like... And they just fell for it immediately, which mm-hmm. makes no sense to me.
I know.
Was vagina involved?
Yes.
Anyway.
Giggity, giggity.
Oh, fuck. Anyway. That was the last time Lucas was ever seen alive. Joanna stabbed this poor man in the chest, piercing his heart. She then dumped his body in a wheelie bin, so like a garbage can thing that you take out to the end of the road for the truck to come by to pick it up. Mm-hmm. Dumped him in one of those. And at some point had the fucking audacity to show a 14-year-old girl his body in the bin.
Why?
She's fucking psychotic.
And that was the neighbor?
No, that was...
That was the one that...
That was the one that thought they were in a relationship.
Right, okay.
But again, not only destroying this man and his relatives, she's gonna fucking bring a 14-year-old girl into this, be like, look what I've done, and think that she's gonna get away with it. Makes no fucking sense to me.
That's awful.
She knew that she couldn't keep him there, so she enlisted the help of fellow convict Gary Stretch. He was a big man in height and robustness. he was a big guy. Like, yeah. He was huge.
Linebacker.
Yeah. My fucking notes. He was entrapped by her feminine wiles.
What?
So he, I don't know how she got him to do any of the shit that he did for her, but again, I know, probably vagina related, but still, he was this big ass dude that was like, yes, I'll do whatever you say. However you say it, when you say it, you call me, I'm fucking there. That is what he was to her.
As long as he got his dick wet.
Wow. Alright, so, back to this. He moved Lucas's body to a place called Thorny Dyke. This was about 10 miles from Petersboro, where Joanna was living.
Why didn't they just let the...
Well, they couldn't... They couldn't take him. They couldn't leave him there because she had shown the 14-year-old. And so if the 14-year-old would say anything to anyone, then they could be caught.
I'm surprised she didn't just kill a 14-year-old, too.
She was only interested in killing men.
Oh.
Yeah. She had this crazy disdain for men and men alone. So about 10 days later, on March 29th, 2013, she attacked John Chapman. You know, the 56-year-old man who would do anything for anyone. Mm-hmm. She stabbed him in the neck once and 5 times in the chest. The attack must have been ferocious because she broke his chest bone.
Oh my goodness.
So I'm not sure what the evidence they had to support any of this, but they, in the film that I was watching, they said he must have been sleeping or in an alcoholic-induced stupor when she attacked him. So
he was defenseless.
He was defenseless. It did nothing to her, and she just like, he's dead. After she killed this man, she called Stretch and said, "Oops, I've done it again."
Oops, I did it again.
Yes, exactly like that. I bet she fucking sang it too. So that same day, she convinces Kevin Lee, which is her landlord slash
lover.
Lover.
Undercover lover.
Lover, lover. She kills him the same fucking day.
That she kills John?
Yes! So she stabs John. I'm thinking in his bedroom area. So there's no cool down or thought behind it. Like, she just fucking did it, and she was in a frenzy at this point. She wanted to kill people, and she's gonna fucking do it.
Right.
Now, a little bit about their relationship before I tell you what happened. She had apparently told him before that her father had molested her, which there is absolutely no evidence of, and she killed him for it. Again, not true. She told Kevin that she had killed men before and no one knew about it, and she would like to kill again. She fucking said this shit to him.
And then she stabbed him?
No, not yet.
Oh, okay.
Slight side note, why would you want to play with that kind of crazy?
Well, obviously she's a liar, so he's probably just thinking that she's lying.
Okay, maybe so, but like, somebody that's like, oh, I've killed people before and I'd like to kill again.
Sam, she has a golden vagina.
Fine.
That's, I mean, what else? What? Because, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what else to tell you. I don't, like, men are stupid. I mean, that's true, too.
Maybe. I don't know. But
I don't want to speak ill of the dead.
True. But if somebody tells me they killed their dad for molesting them, I'm like, fine. Okay, but the likelihood of them actually doing it and not getting caught is very slim.
Well, I mean, if she claims it's self-defense, whatever.
Okay, so if someone tells me that they've killed their father for molesting them, okay, as long as, you know, law enforcement was involved before.
Right. Mm-hmm. I guess.
But then you say you've killed people and would like to kill again. At that point, I draw a line.
Maybe he liked her danger. You know how good girls like bad boys? Maybe he just liked bad girls.
Maybe.
I mean, I don't know.
Anyway, the thing about Kevin is that he was a very regular, scheduled kind of guy. So when his wife couldn't get in touch with him that day, she knew something terrible had happened.
Kevin was married?
Oh, yeah. Did I skip over that part?
Yes.
Yeah, he was fucking married.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he was married.
She must have a golden snatch.
It's just the golden goose. anyway, so fuck him for cheating on his wife. Yeah. Anyway, so, like I said, he held a very strict schedule. So I don't know where fucking crazy bitch fit into that schedule, but he was always home at a certain time. When she couldn't get in touch with Kevin, she called his business partner to find out if he could get his call logs. So she got all of the fucking phone numbers and shit.
That's right, girl.
So she ended up figuring out, like,
bam! That's right, go girl!
She is the reason that Joanna was caught.
Oh, and you were cheating on her?
So, once she got those call logs and she was kind of going through them, she asked him for all of the vacant listings. So I'm sure in her head she's like, he's either really hurt or he's laid up with somebody.
Oh, hell no, I'd be thinking he's laid up with somebody.
The way she talked, because she was also in the film that I was watching, like, it kept her face covered, but then it showed her name, so I don't understand. Anyway, I guess it was her preference. So anyway, so she started checking all of the vacant listings, and out of pure fucking luck, she happened to go by one, and its lights were off, and then she happened to go by it again, and the lights were on.
Ooh.
She didn't have a key, and she feared the worst, right? So she called the police and gave them permission to break in. They did, and they found nothing, though there was a crazy strong smell of bleach. Oh. So.
Liminal.
Yeah. So after Joanna killed Kevin, she and Stretch and another man named Leslie Layton helped her move Kevin's body to Newborough. Now, I'm not sure why he was posed the way he was, because he was the only one that was posed in any kind of way. They put him in a sequined dress and had him face down with his bum in the air, exposed. The judge had his words on it, too. He said it was a final humiliation to Kevin.
Yeah, that's awful. I couldn't imagine seeing a family member like that.
So his body was found the next day. So that was March 30th. His car was also found completely burned. They burned that bitch. So I guess fearing that she would get caught because she murdered three individuals so close to her proximity, I guess, there would be an easy connection to her. Joanna and Stretch decided to make their way to Norfolk, and they broke into a house there. They stole some shit, and they decided to hawk that for money. Apparently, during this time, law enforcement was able to make the connection between Joanna and Kevin, and she gets word about it, and she was fucking excited they were searching for her. So fucking excited.
Her brain is warped.
Really fucking warped. I wonder if she was ever dropped on her head. I say this only because, like, there is a clear connection between brain injury and serial killers.
I was like, weren't you dropped?
I was. I haven't killed anyone.
Yet. There's still time.
No, I don't plan on it. No, I don't have the urge to kill anyone. She did. Anyway, so they needed to get rid of this shit, but they were wanted. Or at least she was. I don't think they knew about Stretch just yet. So they decided to get rid of the stolen items in Hereford. So they had to stop somewhere, get another man, or another person. They chose a man. I don't know why, since she wanted to attack only men, to help get rid of the shit. So they pick him up, head to Hereford. On the way, Danahay made a comment to Stretch saying, I want to have my fun. Meaning, kill more people.
Yeah.
So, on April 2nd, 2013, she was seen on a CCTV arguing with a gas station attendant. I don't know if the gas station attendant was actually arguing back or anything. And I don't have no idea what they're arguing about. But I bet he thanked whatever god he follows for being spared that day. Because not 10 minutes later, she and Stretch were driving down the road, and she saw a man, and she was like, him. I want him. He pulls over, she gets out, and this was John Rogers, by the way. She gets out, he's minding his own business. In the middle of the fucking day, she goes behind him and starts stabbing him.
Oh my goodness.
She then calmly walks back to the car and gets in. They start down the road again. She takes the fucking time to take a selfie with her tongue sticking out. So Rogers described the events as, a car stopped. I didn't think any more of it. I felt a blow to my right shoulder and I saw this lady. She just stared straight through me. I saw the lady with a thing in her hands and I didn't know what it was. I got worried, then frightened. I said, what are you doing? She said, I'm hurting you. I'm going to fucking kill you. Fucking calmly as ever. He tried to fight her off and sort of ran into the road a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then a big man, Stretch, gestured for her to come back, and they sped off. So about 10 minutes later, they're driving down the road again, and she sees another man she just had to kill. This man was the 63-year-old Robin Barisa. He was walking his dog. And again, in the middle of the fucking day, she comes up behind him, she stabs him somewhere around 30 times.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. After repeatedly stabbing this man, she takes his dog and calmly walks away back into the car.
Stabbing is, like, so intimate, too. Like, it's so brutal. Like, you have to, I don't know, it's just 30 times?
30 fucking times. And I'm amazed that these men survived. So as she's walking away with this fucking dog, she has the audacity to wave at the cars that are going by.
With her bloody hand?
With her bloody fucking hands.
She has literally lost it.
She is absolutely frenzied at this point. So, she gets back in the car and they're on their way again.
If I was Stretch, I would have left her ass. Been gone.
Mr. Barisa told the court that he felt a sudden punch in the back while walking. And he turned around and saw the woman who stabbed him just standing there. And she started stabbing him in the chest. And when he asked her, "What's this all about?" she looked at the blood pouring from the stabbed wounds and said, "I'd better do some more." How fucking terrifying is that?
Yeah. That is so fucking traumatic.
So, she didn't seem to be showing any emotion at this time. Like, he's like, she just stared right through me. There was no enjoyment. It was like she was going about her business. So, even though these men had life-threatening injuries, they were able to give a description of Joanna to the police. And the most distinct feature about her was this crappy-ass star tattoo that she has on her cheek.
Mm-hmm.
Very distinguishable.
Yeah.
So, they give them this description, and the police start searching everywhere for her, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not long after that, the police found them sitting in a car. Joanna was sitting in the back seat talking to the dog, and the puppers was unharmed, by the way. They arrested Joanna right away, but Stretch and another man jumped in another vehicle and took off.
Yeah.
They go on this chase for about 20 miles or so. When the car stops, Stretch, who was not the most fit, tries to take off running. He was quickly caught.
Poor Stretch.
When they caught him, he said, "You got me." We were gonna be like Bonnie and Clyde.
Oh, Stretch, no you weren't.
Yeah, fucking ass.
No, you weren't.
Yeah, fucking ass.
She used you.
Anyway, so there is a video of Joanna getting booked, and it shows her laughing and joking with the officers. Hold on a second, I'm gonna pause this. I'm gonna show you the video.
Yeah, show me the video.
Now that you've seen the video of her flirting and the officer flirting back.
Yeah, like
during the booking. It's fucking intense. You can tell that she has no remorse for any fucking thing that she has done.
It's a joke to her.
It is.
And I can't believe the officers are like laughing and talking to her like that back.
Oh, I know. You'd think they would take it a little bit more seriously.
I mean, but when you look at her, you think, you know, there's no way she could have stabbed 30 times.
Yeah.
Stabbed a 65-year-old man 30 mm-hmm. times. I mean, she's tiny. Like, she's not.
Yeah, she's not a big woman. She's not like this brute force that you would think would be overly strong and be capable. But she fucking is.
And obviously she is charming because she was mm-hmm. charming the cops. So, I mean, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. They probably thought that she didn't do this.
Probably. Or maybe they didn't know the extent. I just realized I said Hereford earlier. It's Hereford.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. So she's in there joking with the officers and stuff as she's being booked. All that jazz. It's recorded and you can even look it up. But anyway, the next day, Lucas and John Chapman's bodies were found. So they can officially link two more people's deaths to her. Following her arrest, she was assessed by a psychiatrist. She was diagnosed with paraphilia sadomasochism. And it says a person gains sexual excitement from the pain and humiliation of others. Which would explain why Kevin's body was found the way he was.
Right.
But she didn't do that to the other two, so I'm not entirely sure what that's about. So her pretrial was set for November 18th, 2013. She showed absolutely no remorse and even laughed and talked to her accomplices who were in the dock with her. She had written the judge a letter, and in this letter she apparently showed no remorse for the murders, and the only real regret she seemed to express was that the other two men hadn't died. She pled guilty, and everyone in the fucking courtroom was shocked. Even her fucking attorneys. The attorneys were so shocked, they asked for a brief recess so they could speak to her. So they knew that she understood what that meant. So they had the brief recess. They spoke to her. They came back and explained she knew what she was pleading to. And she decided she wanted to stand and address the court.
Oh, brother.
She explained, "I don't want to be controlled by anyone. The lawyers, the police, anyone." So she was going to make her own decision no matter what anybody else suggested.
Yeah.
During her sentencing, the judge told her she was a cruel, calculating, selfish, and manipulative serial killer. I don't think she had a chance to respond. I don't know. And Kevin Lee's wife attended court but stayed in a family room, so like one off to the side, but she could still see and hear everything that was going on. She said she didn't want Dennehy to have any satisfaction of being in the same room with her. Because I can only imagine Danahae being the psychotic asshat that she is and just getting so much enjoyment out of seeing that woman's pain.
Yeah. What did the ex-husband and the kids have to say about any of it?
I don't think the ex-husband has said anything, or the ex. I don't know if they were actually married.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I don't know. I didn't see anything where he responded on anything on that. But the kids, they had a rough time after she was caught and all of the publicity and all of that stuff. They had to move.
Yeah.
Because all the kids were like, oh.
That's your mama.
That, yeah, essentially.
She cray cray. You cray cray. She cray cray. You cray cray.
That's the murderer's kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, she was sentenced to an all-life sentence to never be released. Ever.
Well, yeah, she doesn't need to be released. How many people is she killing, Joe?
None.
What?
Yeah.
Because it's all women.
So, her accomplices.
Probably the leader, though. Of.
Oh, she's found love. She's found love. I'll get to that in a minute.
Okay.
So, her accomplices, Stretch, received a life sentence with a minimum of 19 years. This was for helping Danahae move the bodies and bodies of her victims and his part in driving to Hereford. Leslie Layton was sentenced to 14 years. He helped move two of the bodies of Danahae's victims. So those are the last two, Kevin and Mr. Chapman.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Moore was sentenced to 3 years. He lied to the police about their whereabouts, and he eventually folded and told them where to look for Danahae and Stretch.
Mm-hmm.
Her reasons for attacking the men, you ask? She bragged that she and Stretch were going to be like Bonnie and Clyde, and their goal was to kill 9 people.
But he didn't kill any of them.
No, but he was her sidekick.
That was her goal, and
he went along with it because mm-hmm. she had a golden snatch. She told psychiatrists that she killed to see if I was as cold as I thought I was. Then I got more-ish and got a taste for it. Statements by the victims / families. Mr. Bariza, one of the victims that survived, said he had been left changed by Danahae's random attack. He was a retired firefighter, and he said, I'm not as confident as I used to be. I'm quieter and not my normal self. Kevin Lee's wife said she didn't get what she deserved, but she's where she needs to be.
That is true.
Danahae's mother's reaction. Kathleen said her daughter loved netball, hockey, and was a sensitive child growing up.
Something had to have happened then. If she was a sensitive child when she was younger,
mm-hmm.
something had to have happened. Like,
I have no clue.
Just switch off her humanity.
Yeah.
Like fucking Vampire Diaries. Like, I mean, like some kind of chemical reaction in her brain, fucking tumor. I don't, like, that's just crazy for her to just switch like that.
Yep.
Or her mom's lying, and she wasn't a sensitive kid.
So her mom went on to say she was very sensitive. If she stood on a worm or something, she would be really upset if it died. She used to take them to her bed with her. So she was a loving girl. Like, that was what her mother said. So I don't understand why you would take worms to your bed, because that's gross. Anyway. So the other victim, Mr. Rogers, said he still needed regular physiotherapy to treat the injuries to his hands. He said, I have enjoyed playing the guitar as a hobby since I was 16, and I'm not the same standard anymore. I've lost the feeling in some of my fingers in my left hand. The only recurring question that remains, he says, is, please tell me why. Why did you do it? This is all I really want to know.
What'd she say? Because I can?
I don't think she's ever responded, but I'm assuming her response would be like, because I fucking could. You look like one that I wanted to kill. So, a life after imprisonment. She had written plans to escape in her diary. Now, I'm not sure how this was found, but her plans included killing at least one guard and cutting off their fingers used for the biometric scanners.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So, she is obviously in prison for the rest of her life, but apparently she met the love of her life while in prison. They planned to get married. Her fiancé was released, because she was also in the same prison, obviously. That's how they met.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so her fiancé was released and continues to communicate with her daily, and is planning the wedding. The woman has made jokes about how they wouldn't be allowed to cut their own fucking wedding cake because Danahae is not allowed to have fucking knives. How fucked?
A lot. It's a lot fucked.
I... It's so fucked up on so many levels. This woman has murdered 3 people, stabbed 2 others, and was not going to stop. And she wants to make that fucking joke? What a piece of shit.
Yeah.
There's no way to express the anger that I feel reading that again.
She's definitely warped.
Yeah.
So is she marrying a woman or a man?
Woman.
Okay, that's what I thought. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that is my story of Joanna Dennehy and her fucking psychotic attempt of being Bonnie and Clyde with her dumbass
henchman
named Stretch.
That's a good henchman name, though.
It is. If they got one thing right, it was definitely that. That's my story. Yay. So do you agree with my 2 or 3 level there on the T-Rex scale?
I don't know. What is it to 10? Is full T-Rex a 10 versus full T-Rex a 5?
Maybe to 5.
Is it 2 out of 3?
Maybe it's 5.
It's 5?
Yeah.
So yeah.
So how are we going to make everyone go from the 2 T-Rex back to neutral? I mean, I'm down to see everybody walking around in T-Rex form, but I doubt anybody actually wants to stay that way.
I love how you have to do it while you're saying it.
Because now I have this image of everybody like walking around. Anywho, what's the topic for today? Oh, and if you have any certain topic, question, or what have you, post it to the socials or email us. We could absolutely use the help with this last part.
I don't know if everybody's qualified for the help we need.
No, they're not, but it's fine. give us a good topic to bring it down. Back to neutral.
Hey, animal facts, too.
And animal facts. You got some weird shit? Send it to us.
Mm-hmm. We like the animal facts.
We do.
Did y'all know that Sam has 2 Amazon cats that are fat? Fatter than Garfield.
Listen, we have Clifford cats. Mm-hmm. They started out tiny, and then we made them massive. But not, like, obese massive. They're just fucking huge.
Yeah, they're just big boned. And they like to give hugs.
They do. At least this one does. He'll wrap his arms right around you. What is my random fact?
Don't need me.
Because it always comes back to some type of sexual thing with animals. Did you know that when a male honeybee climaxes, his testicles explode and he dies?
Uh-uh.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. I don't know why I thought that so funny.
What do bee balls look like?
I don't know. Give me a second and we're going to screw up our search history some more.
Bee balls.
Bee testicles. Have I told you that I really don't like the sight of beehives?
Oh yeah, you don't like the holes.
Yeah. Their testicles explode and their abdomens are severed from their body.
Oh my goodness. But what do they look like?
I don't know.
That's and where are they located? Are they by the stinger?
I don't know.
So it looks like a...
So is their stinger really a penis?
That means I've been violated a lot.
A lot. Oh my god, that's so fucking weird. Here's the anatomy of...
I don't see bee balls.
You don't either.
Come on, let me get at you. So oh, and his penis is ripped off. You didn't say that part.
Oh, I didn't realize that. No, I just wrote down that his testicles explode. But apparently it's like somewhere in his abdomen area. Like a really weird search history.
Floating testicles? Oh, that puts the bee movie in perspective.
Oh, yeah.
He's gonna be a virgin forever.
Oh, that's weird. Oh, that's oh god, that hurt so. That's what I got for you today. Thanks for sticking around to this point. Be sure to share our dumbasses with your friends, family, or even a random person on the internet. Or in person. Though I'm not entirely sure I recommend that.
Sam, tell them where they can find us.
Every fucking where. No, you can find us on the Facebook, the Twitter, and the Instagram.
And where can you listen to our dumbasses?
Everywhere. seriously, all the major platforms that you get your podcast, we are most likely there. And if we're not, let us know and we'll try to make it happen. You can reach us at any of the socials and at M3, that's the number 3, truecrimepod@gmail.com.
For your ear hole enjoyment.